This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim and Shazana Mokhtar in the studio this morning. Actually, yesterday marked the 54th anniversary of the formation of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, more commonly known as ASEAN. While the bloc has been useful as a forum for cooperation and engagement amongst the 10 member states, there are serious questions around the effectiveness of ASEAN in light of the pandemic experience.
That's right, and the political upheaval in Myanmar has also shown a spotlight on whether ASEAN can actually play a proactive role in mediating internal conflict, given its default stance of non-interference. So the question we're asking today is, how can ASEAN adapt to better address the challenges of the pandemic and post-pandemic era?
So for some thoughts on this, we have on the line Muhammad Sinatra, analyst at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, or ISIS, Malaysia. Good morning, Sinatra. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, how has the pandemic affected ASEAN policymaking or cooperation over the past year and a half?
Good morning, BFM, and also happy ASEAN Day. I think many people still don't realize that yesterday was ASEAN Day, so I think it's good to start the morning with that. Okay, so getting back to your question, how has the pandemic affected ASEAN policymaking? So I think we can all agree that the pandemic severely impacts ASEAN's ability to conduct business as usual. The pandemic actually occurred in the midst of ASEAN's progress to achieve the ASEAN Community Vision 2025, which is still like 4 years away at this point. And I think the pandemic serves a great impediment in achieving these goals, these very noble goals. And I think because some experts have already said that the pandemic will not disappear for the next 100 years or something like that. So we'll probably continue seeing how this pandemic disrupting ASEAN's agenda for the next few years at least, until we get really a sense of how we can manage the pandemic, at least in the region. And you see this a lot in Vietnam's chairmanship that was last year when it started out setting up the agenda to achieve these goals, Community Vision 2025. A lot of these meetings have to be like recalibrated to reflect the current imperatives at the moment, which is pandemic management. And all of these meetings have to be moved virtually. And if you are a student of ASEAN, you would know that physical meetings are very important because not in the conference rooms, but in venues such as like golf courses, karaoke booths, or durian parties, because ASEAN leaders prefer to arrive at decision points at these like informal settings. And when you take the meetings virtually, you are being denied the opportunity to have this kind of informal settings.
So how would you say, how effective has ASEAN been in cooperating and helping each member tackle the pandemic?
Okay, it's actually a very difficult question to answer because we humans, we are limited by our expectations and also our perspectives. And if we talk about ASEAN, we tend to see ASEAN as a whole, right? And we also focus on the big ticket items such as pandemic management and whatnot. But if you look, if you actually dig up closer, a lot of ASEAN's mechanisms and also instruments have been properly activated since the beginning of the pandemic. And I'm not only talking about the sectors, the health, foreign affairs and tourism sectors, which have like undertaken intensified multi-sectoral cooperation since the beginning of the pandemic, but also the activation of lesser known agencies and also mechanisms such as ASEAN's guidelines on the provision of emergency assistance, ASEAN project on pandemic preparedness and response, ASEAN bio-diaspora regional virtual centers. And all of these mechanisms have actually been activated to enable sharing of information and best practices among ASEAN member states. But the problem here, again, to conduct a fair assessment on ASEAN's performance during the pandemic, to me, you really have to scrutinize in each and every single one of these instruments instead of like seeing ASEAN as a whole. If anyone has done this kind of research, I urge him or her to please come forward with your results, because I myself have not done this like very detailed assessment of ASEAN's performance, especially with regards to these instruments. But let me just say that ASEAN as an organization has already taken proper actions in line with the established framework and protocol in a time of crisis. Whether these actions have been effective requires closer scrutiny.
Okay, all right. Fair enough, Sinatra. You mentioned that mechanisms have been activated for the pandemic. But I guess the fact that we're not too sure what the outcome is does raise questions about how effective their implementation is. And given that you also said that the pandemic could be with us for, I don't know, another century or at least a few decades, my question is, how can ASEAN institutions be strengthened in light of any of the flaws that have so far been revealed by the pandemic?
Okay, my answer will be still in line with what I've mentioned before. I will not comment on the ASEAN as an institution, but I will say that ASEAN directly needs an enhancement of its PR work, like public relations work. Because I think despite like all these engagements that ASEAN has done, it has not done enough to put itself forward, to portray its successes and its achievements, and also the progresses of the process that undertaking at the moment. So let's just see at ASEAN social media, for example. It's very colorful. It's very celebration of the diversity of ASEAN itself. It also contains important dates and events devised by ASEAN. But there's no effort of at highlighting ASEAN's achievements in addressing the pandemic, for example. Like even if they are, it's very minimum. And this is why you get this difficulty to assess like the effectiveness of ASEAN at tackling the pandemic, for example, or any other regional issues. That we have at the moment, besides the pandemic. And also to add to that, there is this problem of better website maintenance, because to prepare for this interview, I myself have had to consult ASEAN's website. and the problem is ASEAN's website was down 2 days ago. And then since yesterday until this morning, 1 hour ago at least, when I tried to access some of its critical documents, the pages and the links are missing, like, so you cannot access these critical documents. So ASEAN, I think as an institution, is already very it's quite sturdy, it's quite formed by itself, but it's not doing enough to portray itself to the people that it claims to represent.
Now, Sinatra, that said though, ASEAN has been getting quite a bit of criticism for not doing enough to help reduce the situation in Myanmar. The crisis is going on there. Do you think ASEAN needs to step up or become more proactive in the diplomacy and cooperation, or are you satisfied with what they're doing so far?
Again, a very sensitive issue. we have to see ASEAN as an intergovernmental driven organization. Mm. So when we talk about ASEAN, are we talking about the institutions or the countries that are pushing the agenda? So because we have to remember that ASEAN Secretariat itself merely acts as the administrator of the agenda set by the member states. And the problem with this Myanmar crisis is that it demands quick resolution, but we all know that the snail pace of ASEAN's process frustrates all sides at this point. So, of course, they already achieved that 5 points proposals in April, if I'm not mistaken. It's like ending violence, constructive talks among all parties concerned, sending of aid, whatnot. But I'm just going to paraphrase Ibu Retno Marsudi, the Indonesian foreign minister, what she said a few days ago when she stated that the group had made no significant progress on implementing the 5-point plan to stop the crisis in Myanmar. And I think this has been followed up by the appointment of a special envoy, if I'm not mistaken, from Brunei. So the next step is really, to me, all eyes will be on this special envoy, whether he will be able to engage the national unity government and also perhaps bring Tatmadaw and the NUG to the negotiating table, if possible. But you cannot shake this feeling that perhaps ASEAN could do a little bit more in pushing for achievements at this department.
I appreciate that the priority is now to fight the pandemic, but very quickly, looking longer term, how can ASEAN step up to facilitate tighter trade integration and also navigate increasing US-China tensions without needing to take a side?
That is really the problem at the moment, because you have to fight the pandemic and then you still have to address all this like geostrategic, geopolitical constraints at the moment. There is already this concern that the sharpening of the US and China tension would somehow pull ASEAN apart. And then the only answer that I can give now is this is like the most important point at ASEAN's history at the moment, because if it cannot prove itself as a integrated region at the time when all these crises are happening, then the younger generation, such as myself, and then those younger than me would further question the relevance of ASEAN in our lives.
Sinatra, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Mohammad Sinatra, analyst at ISIS Malaysia. So keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.